We're just going to read four verses from 1 Peter chapter 2, from verse 9 to verse 12. I'm reading it to you from the NIV, but it doesn't vary very much from one translation to another. 1 Peter chapter 2, from verse 9 to verse 12. And Peter says to those early Christians and to us, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." When we got married, shortly after that, Ruth said to me that she was going to put two stickers on the steering wheel of our car. And she was going to write on the first sticker, "Where am I going?" And on the second one, "How do I get there?" That probably tells you a little bit about me. It tells you that I can be driving happily down the road, knowing that we're meant to be heading for Dublin, but actually heading for West Cork, because I'm talking away to the person beside me. Don't know if you're like that. I see a couple of smiles around the room, so some people can identify. As churches, that can happen to us too. We sort of know where we're meant to be heading for, and we're busy heading down the road, but we kind of have lost track of, are we actually heading down the road that we're meant to be heading down? And I think 1 Peter chapter 2 is a really helpful little passage that helps us, just like me as a driver, to ask myself, where am I going and what am I doing and am I doing what I'm meant to be doing? So let me just draw very simply and briefly this morning three things we can find from this passage. As a church, remember who we are and what we're here for, okay? So in that verse 9, it tells us who we are. We're a chosen people. There's some lovely adjectives in here. You know, you're not the one left out when they chose the teams. God chose his people. A royal priesthood. You might kind of be ignored by the rest of society, but here it says you have authority and dignity and majesty. Isn't that lovely? A purchased people. God paid a big price to buy his people. What a lovely vision that is. But it's a people with a purpose too. God had an intention in doing this, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So God has always had this idea in mind that his people are there so that his praise might be extended in the world. Now, if you're like me, often a week goes past in your workplace or in your neighborhood or with your friends, and sometimes it just seems so hard. You want to do that. You want to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ to other people. And it just seems so hard to get opportunities to do that. How does Peter think that that is going to happen? Well, in this passage, there are a couple of clues as to how he thinks opportunities arise for us to be able to do that. One, taking a phrase that he uses just a little bit later, he says, "Live such good lives." The word, you know, the adjective holy, a holy nation, a group of people that are distinctively and attractively different to everybody else. And that's not just about going as a missionary to Spain. That relates to wherever you're going to be tomorrow morning, on a Monday morning. Where are you going to be? So project yourself forwards. And think, maybe you're going to be in a classroom, or maybe you're going to be in a workplace. Or what people are you going to be with? How can you live there in an attractively different way? We have one of our courses that's starting tomorrow is Faith in the Workplace. And the lecturer for that course, in gathering all his materials together, he included a quote that I think is really good, written last century, 50 years ago, by Dorothy Sayers. And it says this: "No twisted table legs nor ill-fitting drawers came out of that carpenter shop in Nazareth." Okay, so, okay. "No twisted table legs nor ill-fitting drawers came out of that carpenter shop in Nazareth, because if they had, who could have believed that the hands that made that were the hands that had created the universe?" Okay. Yeah, I see Peter works with wood. Yeah, or used to. I suppose ships aren't, boats aren't made of wood so much nowadays. So the Bible doesn't tell us that Jesus was the best carpenter in history. That's not what the Bible says, but it does say he didn't do shoddy work. So tomorrow morning, don't do shoddy work. Do good work for God's glory. There's connecting your workplace with God's mission. Be distinctive in the way you live. Be genuine. Be a genuine friend. It's hard to find friends in today's society, isn't it? Young people tell us this all the time. People just don't care. They're focused on themselves. Well, you be the one who cares. You be the genuine friend. The other thing that Peter says here is, and we've left this out so far, notice, a royal priesthood. Now, what did the priests do in the Old Testament? What's the difference between a priest and a prophet? Well, as a child, I was taught a little summary, which is a little, it's a little simplified, but it's generally true. A prophet speaks to people on behalf of God. The priest speaks to God on behalf of the people. The priest prayed for the people and then blessed them. The people brought their sacrifices and the priest presented that and prayed that God would forgive them and that God would bless them. So you have the enormous privilege and the power to pray for the other people in your work environment. If you work for some great multinational company and you are at the bottom of this whole hierarchical tree, you know, from the CEO way up there and your way down there, what is the most important thing that has happened in the Irish branch of that multinational, in the office where you work? The most important thing that has happened is that God, in his sovereign purposes, has placed one of his people in there who can pray for all the other people in that office. And they don't know it, but your presence there can change their eternal destiny. Wow. So live distinctively, pray for others. But maybe you're like me, and I'm thinking of one of my friends who said he's going to go to the study this afternoon, and I'm praying. I find it so hard to believe that he will actually be converted, that he will actually become a Christian. I just think, it just seems so hard to believe that. So we need to secondly remember from this passage how we got here. How did you get here? Verse 10. "Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God if you're a Christian today, believing the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." It's as distinctive, Peter says in the previous verse, being brought out of darkness into the light. Do you know you weren't always a Christian? God did something in your life. There was a time when you didn't love the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a time when you had not received mercy. But that means as you think about that other people in your lecture theater, or living on your street, or that relative, or that work colleague that seems so hard to believe that they could become a Christian, there is hope for them. They haven't received mercy today, but they can. And it's because God is merciful. Not because today they look like they're interested, but because God is a God of grace and mercy. And how does it happen? How did we become Christians? Well, presumably, there were people who spoke the gospel to us in words. Presumably, if we told our stories to each other, there were people who showed what a gospel life is like by how they lived. And there were people who showed what living as God's people was like. Somewhere in your story, you maybe weren't saved directly through a church, but you were saved through somebody who belonged to a church somewhere. This is God's normal way of working. He can do other things. Yes, he can. But this is the normal way. So once you were not a people, but now you are a people. So introduce your non-Christian friends to your Christian friends so that they can begin to spot the difference and also the commonalities, what Christians have in common with each other. And also, this is why we need to plant new churches. It is, you know, I'm this morning so encouraged meeting you. Several of you have told me, you know, bits of the story. And you've just planted a second church. You yourselves, I think as a church, you're about 27, 28 years old, something like that. Is that right? Something like that. And you've planted two churches? Well done. God bless you. And no doubt there's hard parts of that. And Babs was telling me, you know, we miss people. You know, the whole group is bigger and now they kind of move out. But God bless you. That is what we're meant to be doing. But finally, and just to not take time this morning, remember where and when we're living. We're living in the world, Peter says. We're living among the pagans, it says in the NIV, or among the Gentiles, it says in the ESV. The word is just nations, ethne, the ethnic groups of the world. Yes, they have other beliefs. But it's lovely to see the variety in God's family, isn't it? Isn't it a foretaste of heaven? And we can come together, and from whether we're originally from Nigeria, or originally from Catalonia, or from the rest of Spain, or from, I believe there's possibly some people from Spain here, we'd love to talk to you afterwards, whether you're from Paraguay or from Zimbabwe, and together in harmony, isn't this great? I'll take issue with one of your songs this morning, which I love singing, the first one we sang. But it said, from every nation, false. You know, we've only got halfway. I know we sing it as an aspiration and as a prayer that that'll happen. But we're only halfway, at most, in the ethnic groups of the world. But we can live strategically. Isn't it exciting to live at a time when God is moving people around the world so much? That didn't happen 100 years ago or 200 years ago. But now we have opportunities to talk to people from many different groups. But because we are aliens and strangers, some of you have moved from one country to another, but whether you haven't, even if you're living in the same town that you've lived in all your life, you're an alien and a stranger to the world. There is a difference. We now belong to God. And that means that sometimes we're able to relocate. And a whole bunch of your members a year ago, kind of, they maybe didn't move physically, but they've started a new church. And we need to keep doing that. We do it for God's glory. That's the last sentence of the text. We live to glorify God on the day he visits us. And that's the when. See, all of this is urgent because it won't go on forever in our current life. There will come a time when God comes, when he comes again. So bless you. Live for God's glory, and we appreciate it. If you pray for us, too, that we will do the same, for we are in Spain. Thank you very much.